All right, it's good to be back here at this church again. Good crowd this morning. That's great, encouraging. I know that encourages you to see that, and especially after you've relocated your church, your facilities, and then you're sort of in a rebuilding stage, and thank God for it and for what He's doing in your lives and what He's doing in this church. We love your pastor and his wife. We're praying they'll have a safe trip back home. They're godly people. He's a good preacher, and they're just a wonderful couple that loves their people. We eat out with them occasionally, and I can tell you, they love you folks, and they love their church, and they're good, godly people, and we thank God for them. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 through verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning with verse 22, it's good to see a new convert back in the service today. And thank God for that. That's encouraging, isn't it, to see that. So we're thankful for Corey and his wife being here and those family members. And I don't know, two or three of them might have been hitchhiking, and he picked them up on the way. And you'll have to get him a bus so he can get his crowd in. But anyway, well, there's an old adage that Dr. Barber used to use, another one that says, preach all to get. If he can't really strike all in 30 minutes, he ought to quit boring. So that's not a promise, but anyway, some of you will have to think through that one a little bit. But we will head into the Word of God, and I love God's Word. How about you? And I want to preach today on this subject, things you cannot do without. Things you cannot do without. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Pay attention especially to verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness. Now, there are some things I cannot do. And I'm sure you could relate to some things you cannot do, but some we cannot do. We cannot be unborn. You're born. You have a soul, body, and spirit, and you can't reverse that. Once you're born, once you're conceived, actually, in the womb, you're an entity, you're a person, and you can't be unborn. And another thing you cannot do is escape death. It is appointed unto man how many times to die? Once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're not going to escape death. It's going to come, except maybe we'll be raptured if you're saved when Jesus returns. Otherwise, we're all going to die. And we cannot escape judgment. We're going to face judgment. As a believer, we'll face the judgment seat of Christ. As an unbeliever, the white throne judgment, which is a very, very sobering reality when we think about it. But we cannot be unborn. We cannot escape death, and we cannot escape judgment. There's some things I just cannot do. There are some things that I can do without. You think of any things you could do without? A lot of things I could do without. I heard about a guy that was looking for something for his dog, and he found something called a dog scratcher. And it was designed like a car wash. And so if you wanted your dog to be scratched, you just ran your dog through the scar, through the dog scratcher. Now, I can do without that for two reasons. One, I don't have a dog. Number two, if I did, I wouldn't buy one of these, would you? But now, I'm not against dogs now. I like dogs. But the last one we had was the last one we're going to have, I think. But she was a great dog. A farm boy went to New York with his daddy, and he had never been there before. And so his daddy said, "Son, what do you think about all this?" They went down Fifth Avenue. He said, "Dad, I've never seen so many things that I can do without." He said, "I can do without those." My wife and I were walking down the Champs-Élysées in Paris one time, and you see all these stores down there, and I looked and looked, and I looked at the prices, and I said, "We can do without that. I can do without that, and you can do without that." And she agreed, of course. It was unbelievable. But let me tell you something. Material things don't satisfy anyway. They will never bring you ultimate satisfaction. That's not what satisfies the heart. But there are some things you cannot do without. As an individual, you cannot do without. So our text tells us one of those things is what? The shedding of blood. You cannot do without the shedding of blood. You see, because there's no forgiveness if there's no shedding of blood. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed because of us and our sins. And he said that if we did not accept the blood and the fact that Jesus offered the blood, we would not be forgiven. That's what he's saying in the rest of those verses. We would not be forgiven. So that's important because we are guilty. Psychiatrists, and there are many of them out there, but one said the number one problem in his estimation was guilt. And you think about the guilt that people have in this world. They may cover it up, veneer it, and may try to convince you otherwise, but people have guilt. And you meet them and you talk to them and you find out that they do have guilt. Well, we have that guilt. But it's going to take the blood for the forgiveness and to understand the love of God. The Red Guard Revolution back in the 60s, they said they wanted to overthrow the government, the Chinese government. And so what they were trying to do was to take up a group, and they were very successful for a while. But this was one of their themes. They said, without the shedding of blood, there is no revolution. They were convinced that there had to be the shedding of blood. Over in Moscow, if you would look now, you'd see a flag, and it would be red, and it would have a 5-point star on it. That stands for the bloodshed in their mind, whatever bloodshed it takes for the five continents before to be shed before the revolution of the whole world, they're willing to see that happen. They don't care. They don't care how many people in the Ukraine they kill and any of those others. Bloodshed to them is necessary. The Aztecs years ago in Mexico, they averaged around 20,000 human sacrifices annually. 20,000 people that they killed trying to appease their gods with the blood sacrifice of people, human bodies, which was obviously absolutely foolish. One anthropologist, a well-known anthropologist, said, every generation has had its blood sacrifices. Every nation, you go back and study the history of the world, and they've had their blood sacrifices. Blood is a symbol of what? Life. Blood is a symbol of life. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh. You don't have any blood in your body, you're dead, friend. The life of the flesh and all is in the blood. It's there. And so we have the realization that blood is something that is important and something that God has given but it is mainly a symbol of life. Now, what about Adam's blood? He had blood, didn't he? Adam's blood, to begin with, was pure. Adam's blood, to begin with, was not bad blood, but they sinned against Almighty God, and their blood became contaminated, and we have inherited exactly the results of what they did in the Garden of Eden. Our blood is contaminated today. You can shed all of your blood you want to. Cut yourself 1,000 times and shed blood to appease God. It'll never do it. Your blood is not the right blood. Your blood is contaminated blood. It is sinful blood, and it'll never bring any kind of forgiveness. They say the average human body has about 10.5 pints of blood in it. And the blood is tainted, and we have to have forgiveness, even though we inherited that from Adam and Eve, and we didn't have any choice in the matter. It came to us, but we still have to deal with it. That's why they use in the Old Testament the Passover lamb. You're very familiar with what they would do, and they would bring a lamb, and they would have requirements. It had to be without spot, without blemish, and a certain age, and all of that. And they would offer that lamb, and they would offer the blood of the lamb on the altar of sacrifice. Why did they do that? It was to appease God for a period of time. They'd have to go back and do it year after year. But the symbol of the blood was telling us that one day Jesus was going to come, and he would be the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover type. Thank God for Christ's blood. Amen? Thank God for his blood. 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with what? The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There's a fulfillment. How are we forgiven? It's Christ's blood, the precious blood of Christ. And his blood, my friend, is precious. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take the Lord's Supper, we don't believe in transubstantiation. It doesn't turn into the literal blood and the literal flesh. But it is a reminder to us of his broken body and his shed blood. And if Jesus hadn't come to the earth, if he hadn't gone to the cross and shed his blood, we'd all be bound for hell. But he shed his precious blood, and blood that cannot, any amount of value cannot be put on it. So you cannot do without the shedding of blood. And even as a believer, you can't do without it either. Aren't you glad that even though we're saved, we can come to God when we fail? And all of us fail from time to time, do we not? And if somebody tells me they don't, I'm a little leery of that. We all fail. The Bible says we fail. And we all sometimes just do the wrong thing. So what do you do in a case like that? You have to get saved again? No. What you do is plead the blood, and you go and confess your sins. And when we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and he is just. Why? Because of the blood, to forgive us of our sins. And all of us have those times. Some of you may have something in your heart and life today that you know is wrong. You need to take it and confess it and get it washed away, as it were. The blood never loses its power. And we just have to confess it. And God doesn't require us to get born again and again and again. We confess it. It's under the blood. We plead the blood, even for a believer. And then you cannot do without faith. That's another thing you can't do without. If you're going to heaven, you've got to have faith. You're going to have faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, you're familiar with this verse, most of you, it is impossible to please him. Get that in our minds. Both unsaved and saved, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We know that that's the clear teaching of the Scripture. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That takes faith. I believe there's a God, don't you? That's faith. Have you ever talked to him, sit down with him, and, I mean, touched him and seen him physically? And no, but we believe he's there. I believe he's on his throne this morning. I believe all of his glory and all of his splendor is there in heaven. I know he's there. How do I believe that? Why do I believe that? By faith in the Word of God, what the Bible declares about the Lord Jesus Christ. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're seeking the Lord, he'll reward you. Just believe he's there and he'll help you. Both unsaved and saved people. And so that's our Lord. How about Noah? He had to have faith, didn't he? And he was told that what was going to happen, a universal flood. It wasn't a little bitty flood over there with a bunch of tadpoles in it. It was a universal flood all over the world. And so he told him it was going to happen. And for 120 years, he was preparing the ark and all of those things. That took a lot of faith. It never had rain. They didn't even know what rain was. So like living in West Texas. They didn't hardly know what rain was. But all of a sudden, one day, it started raining. And there was only 8 people in the ark. They had believed. Noah believed what God said. It wasn't scientific calculation. It wasn't mathematical calculation and all of those other things. It was that he had faith in what God said. God said, Noah, you fix that big boat, and there's coming a universal flood. All the earth is going to be destroyed because of it and the people in it, and so you need to get it done. So he did that. Storm clouds, I think, are gathering today. We better listen. There are a lot of things out there telling us it's about to rain again. Not another flood. The rainbow guarantees that. Isn't it a shame how they perverted the rainbow, the symbol of the rainbow, that crowd that doesn't believe the Bible? But the rainbow is a symbol. I love to see it. I've seen some double rainbows in my life, and just a double promise that God said, I will never destroy the earth again by a flood. Thank God for that. But we know that he's saying there's some things we need to be looking for, and they're warnings, just like he told Noah. Warnings to us that the return of Christ could happen any moment. Therefore, we need to always be prepared to meet God. We don't know when it's going to happen. They didn't know when it was going to start raining, but it did. And Noah believed God. Man is we'd call him a trichotomatic being, like a tricycle, body, soul, and spirit. And animals have bodies, and animals have souls, I believe. They do think, don't they? I've seen some animals I thought was smarter than some human beings that I was around for a period of time. But animals think. They know. They can hear the rattling of the bag, and they come running because they know, they think, there's some food for me. And many other things would tell us that. But in a man, whenever Adam sinned and Eve, he said, today you'll surely die. Well, they didn't die physically that day. They died spiritually. They died spiritually. And our bodies and our souls are there, but our spirit is dead until the Lord speaks to us and we say yes and we accept Christ as our Savior. Then our spirit is made alive. That's what the Bible's talking about when he says you must be born again. Go back in my mother's womb and be born again? No, Nicodemus. You've got to be born from above, born of the Spirit of God. And it's your spirit that is born again. It is your spirit that comes to life. And that's what makes you a spiritual being. It's sort of like a lamp that is put out. It's snuffed out. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. And that's true with all of us. We're born with it snuffed out. We are spiritually dead. How are we going to get it again? How are we going to get the resurrection and the flame and the life? We get it from the Word of God, believing it by faith and asking Christ to come into our heart. God's Word and the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad He deals with people. I'm glad He still speaks to people. I'm glad when I'm preaching up here, I know I'm not by myself. The Holy Spirit is out there working. in your heart, in your mind, and saying what he wants to say to you and causing you to hear what he wants you to hear. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So we have the Word and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we need to go out and give the Word of God out and go out and tell people about Christ. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And then you have to say yes. Well, you say yes by faith. You say yes by faith. What is faith? Well, there are a lot of different explanations. One missionary was trying to explain it to someone that was in the New Hebrides. And he looked around. He was trying to get it across to that foreigner. And he saw him. He reclined on sort of a couch. And he asked him what he was doing. And he, in his language, in his way, explained, "I'm reclining on this couch." And the missionary said, "That's exactly what you have to do to be saved. You have to put all your weight. You have to recline on the Lord Jesus Christ." John 3:16, "Whosoever believeth, whosoever reclines all of his weight, all of his weight, all of it on Jesus Christ shall be saved." God will save you. I was out visiting yesterday, and we had two adults saved yesterday in two different locations, another gentleman and I. And Avril was a big, stout African-American. I mean, he looked like he could play, I started to say, for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, let's choose another team, somebody that's winning. But anyway, he could play for a winning team. And I mean, when I shook hands with him, his hand was, fingers were way out here. His name was Avril. And we talked, and when I first looked at him, I thought, I hope he's friendly. I hope he's a friendly guy. And sure enough, he was. And he just talked. And he said, "You know, my wife and I have been talking about this. And we really would like to get in church." And I witnessed to him, talked to him. He got saved, gloriously saved. Received the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he get saved? By faith. I took the Bible and I said, "This is God's Word." And went through some scriptures with him. And I said, "If you'll call upon the name of the Lord, believing these things, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." By the way, I'm glad it's whosoever will. Not some hyper-Calvinistic thing. There's some predestinated to heaven, some to hell. Whosoever will may come. And the work and obeying and the Spirit dealing with them. Then we were in an area. It was a new area, a lot of new homes. And there was a model home there. And I said to the gentleman with me, "Let's just go in and talk to these people in the model home." And so a nice young lady came to the door, and we began to talk. I asked her about the price of the homes, and she gave me that information. And then we began to talk to her, witness to her, and she received Christ as her Savior. How did she do that? You say that's easy believism. You leave that in the hands of God. They did what God said. And if they did what God said, then God will take care of the rest with His Holy Spirit who moves into their heart. And so she seemed so thrilled and happy about it. And she doesn't live around here. She lives around Louisville. I told her the name of a church, the name of a pastor, gave her some information, and she said, "I will go to that church. I'll visit that church." You see, she believed what I told her. She believed what the Bible said. Now she's justified. And Avril is justified. I hope our pastor will let me baptize him. I think I can handle him. But at any rate, he's a big guy, but that would be exciting. But you can't do without the blood, and you can't do without faith. And by the way, Christian, this is not just an evangelistic message. You've got to have faith too. You need to have faith that God will use you and to bring people to Christ. You need to have faith that whatever gifts or talents he's given you, God will use them for his glory. You need to have faith that if you give to God and learn the principles of giving God, you'll never outgive God. There's no way you can outgive God. That takes faith. You need to have faith that if you confess your sin, he'll forgive you. Faith is something that, for the believer, we have to have faith in God. When things go awry and we don't understand why, Have faith in God. Just believe God is going to use it. Romans 8:28, we quote it all the time. God will take it and use it. And then you cannot do without the hope of the resurrection. We can't do without the hope of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Listen to this verse. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. How many of you believe Jesus arose? Say amen, amen. He came out of the tomb. He came out of the grave. And He lives today. I serve a risen Savior. How about you? And I know that He's in the world today. I know He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. My faith is not in vain. Jesus came out of the tomb. And as surely as He did, I will too. I will too. And it doesn't matter how you die, where you die, if you're burned up in a fire, if they throw you out in the ocean somewhere, you don't have to worry about that. God will take care of that. But some of these days, you're going to be raised like Jesus Christ and be given a glorified body like Jesus Christ. I'm anxious to get my glorified body. This one's sort of troubling me these days. I told my wife when I came in, we were out visiting for about a couple of hours, and I said, boy, my feet hurt, and I'm so tired. And I went to my recliner, and I plopped down real quick. And I said, now, don't bother me for a little while. But when I get to heaven, thank God I'll have a body like Christ. A little humor about all that, but no, we'll be like Jesus. Won't that be great? I like the way He described His body in the Bible after He arose. And when He comes again, it wasn't when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. That wasn't the second coming of Christ. When Christ comes again, it will be bodily. It will be literally. He will come in the air, and we'll go to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first. That's the Baptist. And those which remain in our lives shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't that be great? Jesus is coming again, and then we'll come back with Him, and we'll reign with Him in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So much could be said about that. But let me just say to you in closing this message, unsaved person, if you're here today and you don't know, listen to me carefully, and you don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You don't know that, but you really want to know that. I'm telling you that the blood of Christ has been given, and He paid that price with His shed blood, so that you can be saved today. And without it, you'll never get to heaven. You can do all the good works you want. You can pay all the money you want. And all of those other things. You can be a philanthropist and give all your money away, whatever. That will not get you to heaven. You can try your good works. That won't do it either. It's good to have good works. But as was taught in Sunday school this morning, our good works as a believer is a testimony that we've been changed. That's not how we get saved. But dear friend, we know that we have to believe in Christ. It's not our good works. It's not how good we are. It's the blood of Jesus. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's what you got to trust in. And you have to have faith to believe that. Just simple childlike faith. Aren't you glad Jesus said children could be saved? Childlike faith. Except you come as a little child, you shall not enter into heaven, is basically what He said. And so we have to believe in the blood and have faith in that. And then, Christian, if you fail God in any way, you've got to have faith to believe that God will forgive you, and you need to come to Him. You may have some sin you're hanging on to. You need to let go of it. Whether it's bitterness, pride, whether it's worshiping money and all of these things, whatever it may be, we always talk about the big bad things, but there are a lot of things in the lives of a believer. Lack of prayer, lack of Bible reading, all of those things. If we don't have that, and there are things in our life that we know are wrong and we won't stop it, come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and make that right and forsake those things in our lives that God is not pleased with. Let's stand, please. I can tell you because of the blood, you can be saved. So if you're not saved, I hope you'll come today and be saved. And there'll be someone here that can talk to you, maybe go back and counsel with you, whatever needs to be done. You can come and trust Christ. If we confess Him, He'll save us. That's what He's asking. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, then thou shalt be saved. And then remember, Christian or unsaved person, he that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, hearing the gospel, hearing the truth, shall be suddenly cut off, that without remedy. Don't put it off. It's an important decision that needs to be made. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, thank you, Father, for giving your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. The ignominy, the shame, the pain you went through, but the shedding of your precious blood to fulfill the Old Testament atonement. To say to anybody, anywhere, that if you'll come and believe that my blood paid for your sin debt and receive it as a gift, you can be saved. I pray if there's anybody here like that today, God, that they would step out and step forward and come and let someone show them in the Bible just how to be saved and say the prayer that would confess Jesus as Redeemer. And then, Father, whatever you've spoken to our hearts about as believers, help us to make those things right. In Jesus' name, amen.